as I imagined myself on a beach in Spain. "Spain?" Simon asked. I turned my face toward his. He was smiling back at me. "Spain. That's where I want to go. But it's so expensive. It's going to have to wait a while." I smiled again, my head still wrapped around the image.
"Hey, wait, Simon, aren't you going to Spain next month?" Ryan asked,
and my eyes widened.
Yeah, I am, actually," he answered.
"Great! Caroline, you can go with him," Mimi decided, clapping her hands and turning to Ryan. "Ryan, you're next."
No, wait a minute.
First of all, I can't just go with Simon to Spain. And second of all, it's my turn," I protested as Simon sat up.
"Actually, you could just go with Simon to Spain," he said, turning to me fully.
The other side of the hot tub got very quiet.
No, I can't. You're working. I can't afford a trip like that. And besides, I don't know that I can take time off next month."
I felt my heart swell as I processed what he'd just said.
"Actually, I heard Jillian telling you the other day that next month would be a good time to take your vacation before the holiday season," Mimi piped up.
She sank back into the shadows as I glared at her.
"Be that as it may, I also can't afford it, so discussion ended. Now then, I believe it's my turn. Let's see. Who should I pick?"
I looked around at everyone.
"It wouldn't be that expensive. I'm renting a house, so that would be paid for. Airfare and spending money. That's all you'd have to cover,"
Simon added, not letting this go.
"Hey, that's a pretty good deal there, Caroline," Mimi spouted, her energy making little ripples across the tub.
"Okay, Mimi. Truth or dare?" I asked, gritting my teeth and pushing ahead with the game.
"Hey, we're discussing something here. Don't change the subject," she objected.
"Well, I'm done discussing it. Truth or dare, you little shit," I said again, letting her know I meant business.
"Fine. Dare," she pouted. "Great. I dare you to kiss Neil," I shot back, not missing a beat.
"What?"
she shouted, as the entire hot tub erupted in gasps.
"Hey, we're just playing a game, right?
And Mimi, really, it's not that shocking that I would dare you to kiss the guy you've been seeing for weeks now, is it?"
"Well, no, I don't like public displays," she sputtered, almost going under.
This from the girl who was almost arrested for public nudity when she was found under the bleachers at a football game freshman year at Berkeley.
"Oh, come on. What's the big deal?"
Simon chimed in, and I looked at him gratefully.
"Nothing, it's just..."
she said again, and Neil interrupted.
"Oh, come here, Tiny," he exclaimed, and pulled her over.
They stared at each other for a second, and then Neil swept her hair out of her face. He smiled, and she leaned in. I heard Sophia inhale at the same time Ryan did, and we all watched as Mimi kissed Neil. And it was weird. They broke away, and Mimi swam back over to her side, next to Ryan. All was quiet for a moment. Simon and I looked at each other, not sure what to do next. We'd been outsmarted, and I got pissed when I got outsmarted. I began to burn. The fact that I was drunk had nothing at all to do with my overreaction.
"Okay, I guess it's my turn. Ryan, truth or dare?"
Neil started. And I stood up, splashing everyone around me as I did.
No, that's not what was supposed to happen," I yelled, stamping my foot, losing my balance, and going under in the process.
Simon's strong hands brought me back to the surface, and I continued my alcohol-induced tirade. Flashes of lightning, now much closer, blazed across the sky.
"You were not supposed to let her kiss him,"
I sputtered, spitting out water and pointing at Ryan and then at Mimi. I whirled on Sophia.
"And you were supposed to get mad at her."
Why would I get mad at Mimi for kissing her boyfriend? Sophia mumbled, taking a sudden interest in her fingernails.
"Oh!"
I screamed and turned back to Mimi.
"Mimi, are you even remotely interested in Neil?"
I challenged, hands on my hips as I steamed into the night air.
"Neil is exactly what I've always wanted in a man. He is my type to a T," she countered robotically, flinching when Ryan looked at her with hurt in his eyes.
"Blah, blah, blah. Have you fucked Neil yet?"
I screeched, pointing wildly as I tend to do when I drink.
"Okay, Caroline, you've made your point," Simon soothed, trying to get me to sit back down. "What point? What are you two talking about?" Sophia asked, leaning forward.
"Oh, please. The four of you are ridiculous. I don't care what you all think you want on paper. In reality, you're doing it all wrong,"
I answered, smacking the top of the water for emphasis.
Why weren't they getting it? I don't know when I'd gotten so riled up, but in the last 60 seconds or so, I'd become blazing mad.
"Are you kidding?" Mimi cried, jumping to her feet in the hot tub, which kept the water at about the same level.
"Mimi, come on. Anyone with eyes can see the way you and Ryan feel about each other. Why the hell are you wasting time on anyone else?"
I pushed. Simon pulled me back into his lap and attempted to quiet me.
"Okay, this has gone far enough," Neil said, starting to get out of the tub.
"No, no! Neil, look at Sophia. Can't you tell she is totally into you? Why the hell are you all so thick? Seriously? Are Simon and I the only ones that can see clearly here?"
I yelled once more, bringing Simon into the conversation whether he wanted it or not. Neil looked at Ryan and then at Simon.
"Dude!"
Neil exclaimed.
"Dude!"
Simon answered, gesturing toward Sophia, who stood up like she was going to say something. Neil put his hand on her shoulder, and she stopped and sat back down. Neil nodded at Ryan.
"Dude?"
he asked, and Ryan nodded back. Neil took a deep breath and looked at Sophia.
"Sophia, truth or dare?"
Neil asked.
"We are not playing anymore," I tried to yell, but Simon took that moment to place his hand over my mouth.
"All clear over here,"
Simon announced as he pinned me to his lap more securely with his other hand on my waist. Thunder rolled in, blanketing the scene with an ominous air.
"Sophia?"
Neil asked again. She was quiet and not looking in the direction of Mimi and Ryan.
"Dare,"
she whispered and closed her eyes. Alcohol made everything much more dramatic.
"I dare you to kiss me,"
Neil said. And all you could hear was the occasional loon over the lake. The loons in the tub were finally quiet. We all watched as Sophia turned to Neil and placed a hand on the back of his head, pulling him toward her. She kissed him, slowly but surely, and it went on for days. I smiled into Simon's hand, and he patted my stomach, which made me giddy. When we finally broke apart, Sophia was laughing into Neil's mouth, and he answered with his giant, goofy man giggle.
"Well, it's about freaking time,"
Simon said, releasing my mouth.
"Mimi, I..." Sophia began,
turning toward Mimi and finding an empty hot tub. Mimi and Ryan were gone. I caught just the edge of Ryan's towel headed into the pool house with a slippery wet companion on his arm.
Well then, I guess we'll call it a night, Sophia sighed, grabbing Neil by the hand.
Night, I giggled as she walked into the house with Neil in tow. They cuddled close, already a picture in the making. I looked at the pool house and noticed no lights had come on yet. They probably would not be coming on in the near future.
Well, that was a fine bit of matchmaking, although your bull in a china shop delivery left a lot to be desired.
Simon chuckled, letting his hand rest against my back. I was still perched on his lap. His hand had left my mouth, and it was now drifting south, while his other hand remained tightly on my waist.
Yes, I usually leave a lot to be desired, I observed wryly, not wanting to leave this exquisite spot, but knowing I needed to, and soon.
Simon was quiet behind me, and I started to move off his lap.
You leave everything to be desired, Caroline, he said softly, and I froze.
It was quiet for another moment, both of us not moving, but still moving toward each other. Without looking back, I let out a tiny laugh.
You know, I never really got that phrase. Does that mean I am desirable, or...
His fingers began to trace tiny circles on my skin.
You know exactly what it means, he breathed into my ear.
The air crackled around us, the tension as well as the actual weather. More tiny circles. In the end, it was the tiny circles that finally broke me. I lost all control. I turned quickly, catching him off guard as I wrapped my legs around his waist and threw caution and my harem mantra to the wind. I sunk my hands into his hair, luxuriating in the feel of wet silk around my fingertips as I pulled him toward me.
Why did you kiss me that night at the party?
I asked, my mouth mere inches from his. Once he realized I was driving this bus, he responded by pressing his hips into mine, bringing us closer together than we'd ever been.
Why did you kiss me?
He asked, running his hands up and down my back, settling into the space where his hands spanned my waist exactly. Thumbs in front, fingers in back, and pressed me into him further.
Because I had to,
I answered honestly, remembering how I'd reacted instinctively, kissing him when I'd wanted to do anything but.
Why did you kiss me? I asked again. Because I had to, he said,
the smirk returning. Luckily, I didn't see the smirk for too long, because I'd finally discovered the secret of the ages.
How do you make Wallbanger stop smirking?
You kiss him.
Chapter 13. The sky opened up, pelting us with chilly rain, which mixed with the heat around us and between us. I looked at Simon underneath me, warm and wet. And there was nothing in the world I wanted more than his lips against mine. So even though every single cowbell in my head was ringing out the alarm, I centered myself, wrapped my legs tighter around his waist, and gazed directly into his eyes.
Caroline, what are you up to?
He smiled, his hands strong on my waist as his fingers dug into my skin. His skin slipped against mine in a way that made me not right in the head, and I could feel
his abs against my tummy. He was so strong, so powerfully delicious, that brain began to burn, and other organs began to make all my decisions. I think O even popped her head up for a moment, like a groundhog. She took a quick glance around and pronounced it much closer to spring than she'd been in months. I licked my lips, and he mirrored my actions. I could barely see him through the haze of steam from the hot tub and the lust now brewing in this little cauldron of chlorinated chemistry. "I'm up to no good, that's for sure," I breathed, rising up just a little. The feeling of my breasts crushing against his skin was unimaginable. As I settled on his lap again, I felt his reaction in a very tangible way, and we both groaned at the contact.
"You're up to no good, huh?"
he said, his voice gruff and thick and maple syrup pouring over me.
"No good,"
I whispered in his ear as he pressed his mouth against my neck. "Wanna be bad with me?"
"You sure about that?"
he groaned, hands clutching at my back with delightful abandon. "Come on, Simon, let's bang some walls," I answered, allowing my tongue to dart out from between my lips and against the skin just underneath his jaw. The scruff scratched my taste buds and gave me a sense of what that very scruff would feel like against other soft places on my body. O poked her head out just a little more at that point and went straight to brain, which in turn spoke directly to my hands. I grasped him firmly at the base of his neck and positioned him directly in front of me, his eyes flaring wide and turning into tiny little hypnotizers. His grin was hard, and so was he. I leaned in and sucked his bottom lip between my teeth, nibbling lightly before biting down and pulling him closer. He came willingly, ceding control as my fingers pulled and pushed at his hair and my tongue pressed into his mouth as he groaned into mine. Everything in my world now narrowed to just the feeling of this man, this wonderful man in my arms and threaded between my legs, and I kissed him like the world was about to end. It wasn't sweet and tentative. It was pure carnal frustration, spiked with incomprehensible lust, and rolled into a giant ball of, "Please, God, let me live in this man's mouth for the foreseeable future." My mouth led his in a dance as old as the mountains that watched over us approvingly, our tongues and teeth and lips smacking and cracking and giving in to the sweet tension that had been building since I showed up at his door wearing the inspiration for my nickname. I shook as I felt his hands reach lower to grasp my bottom and pull me closer still, my legs scrambling as I panted like a whore in church, the Church of Simon, where I was dying to kneel before him. My eyes were closed, my legs were open, and I was now moaning into his mouth like some kind of rabid dog. The idea that a kiss, just a kiss, had turned me into this giant lusting bag of Caroline need that was undeniable, and I knew that if he continued to make me feel this way, I was going to invite him straight into my Tahoe. Great idea. "Come into my Tahoe, Simon," I mumbled incoherently into his mouth. He paused. "Caroline, come into your what?" "Oh, God," he managed as I pushed us off the side of the hot tub and vaulted us across the water, emptying half of its contents onto the deck and the other half sloshing us around like it was high tide. He slammed me into the opposite wall, pushing me up against the bench and re-wrapping my legs around his waist as I gamely pushed my mouth back into his, unwilling to let go of him. At one point, I kissed him so hard he had to push me off so he could catch a breath. "Breathe, Simon, breathe," I giggled, stroking his face as he struggled before me.
"You are a mad woman," he panted, his hands looping underneath my arms and curling around the tops of my shoulders, keeping me firmly against the side while I dug my heels into his backside, nudging him to exactly where I needed him. He closed his eyes and bit down on his lower lip, an animalistic growl sounding low in his throat as I launched my second wave of the Lower Caroline-commanded attack.
"You feel uncommonly good," I moaned as I began to kiss him again, raining the kisses down across his mouth, his cheeks, his jaw, slipping underneath to suck and bite at his neck as he dropped his head back to allow my assault. His hands were rough on me, dipping down low on my back and catching on my bikini strings, loosening the sides. The thought of my naked breasts against his skin drove me crazy with lust, and I removed my hands from his poor hair to snake back behind my neck and pull on the knot. As I maneuvered, I knocked into one of the empty bottles of cava, starting a domino effect of bottles crashing to the ground. I giggled as he pulled back, startled at the sound. His eyes were smoky blue, crowded with lust, but as they focused on me, they began to crystallize. I finally managed to get the knot untied and could feel the water swirl around my naked skin. I started to drop the strings when Simon grasped them tightly in his hands. He shook his head as though to clear it, then closed his eyes firmly, cutting off our connection. "Hey, hey, hey," I prodded, forcing his eyes open and making him look at me. "Where did you go just now?" I whispered. He wrapped his hands, still holding my strings, back around my neck. He slowly began to tie my suit back together, and I felt my face flush bright red, all the blood in my body betraying me in that instant. "Caroline," he began, breathing heavily, but looking at me carefully. "What's wrong?" I interrupted. His hands came to rest on my shoulders, and he seemed to be keeping a specific distance between us. "Caroline, you're amazing, but I can't," he started. Now I was the one to close my eyes. Emotions whirled behind my eyelids, shame being chief among them. Heart plummeted. I could feel his eyes on me, willing me to open my own. "You can't," I stated, opening my eyes and looking anywhere but at him.
"No, I mean I..."
he stammered, clearly uneasy as he moved away from me. I began to shake.
"You can't?"
I asked, suddenly feeling icy cold even in the water. I unlocked my legs from around him, allowing him the room he needed to move away.
"No, Caroline, not you. Not like..."
"Well, don't I feel like a fucking idiot?" I managed, laughing shortly, and pulling myself up and out of the water to the side of the hot tub.
"What? No, you don't understand. I just can't..."
He started toward me, and I kicked out a leg, pressing my foot square in the center of his chest to keep him away.
"Hey, Simon, I get it. You can't. It's cool.
Wow, what a crazy night, huh?" I laughed again, swinging over the side and starting for the house, wanting to get away before he could see the tears I knew were on their way. Of course, as I tried to navigate the steps, I slipped in a wet spot and fell with a big thud. I could feel the back of my eyeballs begin to burn as I scrambled up as quickly as I could, panicked that I was going to cry before I could get inside. Now that I was moving, I could feel the effects of all the alcohol I'd consumed and the beginnings of a very strong headache.
"Caroline, are you okay?"
Simon cried, starting to get out of the hot tub.
"I'm fine. I'm fine. Just..."
I got out, my throat beginning to close as I choked back a sob. I held my hand out behind me, willing him to understand that I did not need his help.
"I'm fine, Simon."
I couldn't turn around and see him. I just continued walking away. The cursed big band music still played on the turntable, but I still heard him say my name once more. Ignoring it, I made my way to the door, feeling foolish now in my teeny bikini that was clearly not as enticing as I thought it was. I didn't even bother to grab a towel. Instead, I threw open the glass door and heard it slam shut behind me as I all but ran for my room. I left little puddles along the slate floor down the hallway, trying to ignore the giggles coming from Sophia's room. As the tears finally coursed down my cheeks, I locked the door and stripped off my bathing suit. I stumbled into the bathroom, flicked on the light, and there I stood, reflected back to me. Naked, wet hair streaming down my back, a bruise already beginning to form on my thigh from my drunken spill, and puffy, kiss-swollen lips. I wrapped my hair in a towel, and then leaned on the countertop, bringing my face within inches of the mirror.
"Caroline, my dear, you just got turned down by a man who once made a woman meow for 30 minutes straight. How do you feel?"
the naked woman in the mirror asked me, turning my thumb into a little microphone. She gestured toward me, holding out her thumb.
"Well, I drank enough wine to sustain a small Spanish village. I haven't had an orgasm in 1,000 years, and I will probably die old and alone in a beautifully designed apartment with all of Clive's illegitimate children swarming around me.
How do you think I feel?"
I asked back, offering Mirror Caroline her thumb.
"Silly Caroline. You had Clive neutered," Mirror Caroline answered, shaking her head at me.
"Go fuck yourself, Mirror Caroline, since I can't even do that,"
I finished, ending the interview and taking my naked ass back into the bedroom. Throwing on a t-shirt, I fell into bed, my drunk self exhausted from the hike and the dinner and the wine and the music and the best make-out session I'd ever engaged in. The thought of it brought my tears to the surface again, and I rolled over to grab some tissues, only to find an empty box, which made me cry even harder. Stupid wall-banger voodoo. Could this night get any worse? Then my phone rang.
"Pancakes, sweetie? Love some. Thanks, babe. Jesus. Is there still cream for the coffee?"
"I got your cream right here, honey bunch."
"Sweet Jesus."
Listening to a new couple, much less two new couples, was sometimes vomit-worthy. Add that to a hangover, and this was going to be a long morning. After talking to James on the phone last night, I'd fallen into a deep sleep, aided, no doubt, by all the wine I'd consumed. I woke with a thick tongue, a splitting headache, and a queasy stomach, made even more queasy by the knowledge that I'd have to see Simon this morning and have that weird, "we totally made out last night" conversation. James had made me feel better, though. He'd made me laugh, and I remembered how well he took care of me back in the day. It was a nice memory, and an even nicer feeling. He'd called under the pretense of checking with me about a paint color, which I quickly called as a bluff. Then he'd admitted he just wanted to talk to me, and fresh off the great hot tub rejection,
I was happy to talk to someone I knew wanted my attention. Damn you, Simon. When James asked me to dinner next weekend, I agreed immediately. We'd have a great time. And since my O was back in her hidey hole, I might as well enjoy a night on the town. Now I was seated at the breakfast table, surrounded by two new couples who were filling the kitchen with enough sexual satisfaction to make me scream. I didn't, though. I kept it to myself as Mimi perched happily on Ryan's lap, and Neil fed Sophia melon balls as though he were put on the earth for this reason and this reason alone. "How was the rest of your evening, Ms. Caroline?" Mimi chirped, raising a knowing eyebrow. I pressed the tines of my fork into her hand and told her to zip it.
"Wow, grumpy. Someone must have spent the night alone," Sophia murmured to Neil.
I looked up at her in surprise. The casualness with which they were treating this was really starting to bother me.
"Well, of course I spent the night alone. Who the hell do you think I spent the night with, huh?"
I asked, slamming back from the table and knocking my orange juice glass over.
"Ah, fuck it all to hell," I muttered, stomping off toward the patio, tears threatening for the second time in less than 12 hours.
I sat in one of the Adirondack chairs, looking out over the lake. The cool of the morning soothed my heated face, and I wiped clumsily at my tears as I heard the girl's footsteps follow me outside.
"I don't want to talk about it, okay?" I instructed, as they took the seats opposite me.
"Okay, but you gotta give us something. I mean, I thought for sure when we left last night, I mean... You and Simon are just..."
Mimi started, and I stopped her. "Me and Simon? Nothing. There is no me and Simon."
"What?
You thought we'd pair off just because you four finally figured your shit out? You're welcome for that, by the way," I snapped, pulling my ball cap down lower on my face, hiding my continuing tears from my best friends.
"Caroline, we just thought..." Sophia began, and I cut her off as well.
"You thought since we were the ones left over, we'd just magically become a couple?
How storybook.
Three sets of perfectly matched couples, right? Like that ever happens. This isn't some romance novel."
"Oh, come on. You two are perfect for each other. You called us blind last night?
Hi, Pot. It's me, Kettle," Sophia snapped back.
"Hi, Kettle. You have about 30 seconds before this Pot kicks your ass."
"Nothing happened. Nothing is going to happen. In case you forgot, he has a harem, ladies. A harem. And I'm not about to become his third chippy. So you can forget it, okay?"
I yelled, pushing out of the chair, turning for the house, and running right into a quiet Simon.
"Great. You're here, too. And I see you two peeking through the blinds, idiots,"
I cried as Neil and Ryan backed away from the window.
"Caroline, can we talk, please?" Simon asked, grasping me by the arms and spinning me toward him.
"Sure.
Why not?
Let's make the embarrassment complete. Since I know you're all dying to know, I threw myself at this guy last night, and he turned me down."
"Okay. Secret's out.
Now can we please drop it?"
I wiggled out of his grip and walked toward the trail to the lake. I heard nothing behind me and turned to see all five of them, wide-eyed and evidently unsure what to do next.
"Hey, come on, Simon. Let's go."
I snapped my fingers, and he started after me, looking a little afraid. I stomped down the trail and tried to slow my breathing. My heart was pounding, and I didn't want to talk when I was this riled up. No good could come of it. As I breathed in and out, I took in the beautiful morning all around and tried to let that lighten my heart a bit. Did I need to make this more awkward than it already was? No. I had the control here, last night notwithstanding. I could make it so last night never happened. Or I could certainly try.
I breathed again, feeling a bit of the tension leave my body. Despite everything that happened, I enjoyed Simon's company and had come to think of him as my friend. I still stomped along the path, but eventually eased back into a moderately pissy stroll. I left the trees behind and didn't stop until I reached the end of the dock. The sun peeked out after last night's storm, casting a silver light on the water. I heard him approach and stop just behind me. I took one more deep breath. He was silent.
"You're not going to push me in, are you?"
"That would be a bad move, Simon." He exhaled a laugh, and I smiled a little, not wanting to, but not able to help it.
"Caroline, can I explain about last night? I need you to know that..."
"Just don't, okay? Can't we just chalk it up to the wine?" I asked, whirling about to face him and trying to beat him to the punch. He stared down at me with the strangest look on his face. He looked like he'd gotten dressed in a hurry. White thermal, well-worn jeans, and hiking boots that weren't even laced up. The strings now damp and muddy from the trek through the woods. Still, he was stunning. The early morning sun illuminating the strong planes of his face and that scruff that was so delicious.
"I wish I could, Caroline, but..."
he started again. I shook my head. "Seriously, Simon, just..." I began, but stopped when he pressed his fingers against my mouth.
"You have to shut up, okay? You keep interrupting me and watch how fast you get tossed in that very lake,"
he warned, with the twinkle in his eye I'd become so used to. I nodded, and he removed his hand. I tried to ignore the flames that licked at my lips, brought to the surface by just that little touch.
"So, last night we came really close to making a very big mistake," he said, and when he saw my mouth begin to open, he wagged his finger at me. I zipped my lip, miming throwing the key into the water. He smiled sadly and continued, "Obviously, I'm attracted to you. How could I not be? You're amazing. But you were drunk. I was drunk, and as great as it would have been, it would have changed things, you know? And I just can't, Caroline. I can't allow myself to... I just..."
He struggled, running his hands through his hair in a gesture I'd come to understand as frustration. He stared at me, willing me to make this okay, to tell him we were okay. Did I want to lose a friend over this? No way. "Hey, like I said, it's cool. Too much wine.
Besides, I know you have your arrangement, and I can't. Things just got away from me last night," I explained, trying to sell it to him.
He opened his mouth to comment, but after a moment, he nodded and sighed a great sigh.
"We still friends? I don't want this to get weird for us. I really like you, Caroline," he asked, looking as though his world was about to come to an end.
"Of course. Friends. What else would we be?" I swallowed hard and forced a smile. He smiled too, and we began to walk back up the trail. "Okay, that wasn't too bad. Maybe this could work." He stopped to pick up a handful of sand from the beach and put it in a little plastic baggie.
"Bottles? Bottles."
He nodded, and we started up the path. "So it looks like our little plan worked," I began, searching for conversation.
"With those guys? Oh yeah, I think it worked well. They seem to have found what they needed."
"That's all anyone's trying to do, right?" I laughed as we crossed the patio to the kitchen. Four heads disappeared from the window and began to assume positions of nonchalance around the table. I chuckled.
Always good when what you need and what you want are the same things, Simon said, holding the door open for me. Boy, did you say a mouthful?
A pang of sadness hit me again, but I didn't have to force the smile once I saw how happy my friends were.
You want some breakfast? There are still some cinnamon buns, I think, Simon offered, walking over to the counter.
No. I think I'm going to go pack, get my stuff together, I said, noticing a flash of disappointment cross his face before he smiled bravely.
Okay, so this wasn't great.
Well, that's what happens when two friends kiss. Things are never the same. I nodded at my girls and headed for my room. Spurred by my insistence about getting back to the city, within 2 hours we were all packed and deciding who was going to ride with whom. I didn't want to ride alone with Simon, so I pulled Mimi aside and instructed her to bring Ryan along with us. Now we were all outside arranging bags. As Simon piled everything into the Land Rover, I shivered a little, realizing too late that I'd packed my fleece jacket into my bag, which was now buried. As he turned back toward me, he noticed.
You cold?
A little, but it's fine. My bag's at the bottom and I don't want you to have to rearrange everything, I answered, stamping my foot to keep warm.
Oh, that reminds me, I have something for you, he exclaimed, rummaging in his bag, which was on top.
He handed me a lumpy package wrapped in brown paper.
What's this?
I asked, as he blushed deeply.
Simon does blush?
I rarely saw that.
You didn't think I forgot this, did you?
He replied, his hair falling into his eyes a little as he smiled a boyish smile.
I was going to give it to you last night, but then... Hey, Barker! Could use a little help over here,
Neil called as he struggled to load all of Sophia's luggage. Yesterday, this would have been Ryan's job. Now it was Neil's. Yesterday. How the world had changed in one day. He backed away from me as Mimi and Ryan got themselves settled in the back seat. I opened the package to find a very thick, very soft Irish sweater. I lifted it out of the paper, feeling the weight and the nubbly texture of the weave. I pressed it against my nose, inhaling the scent of wool and unmistakable Simon that clung to it. I grinned into the sweater, then quickly slipped it over my T-shirt, admiring the way it hung loose and low, yet still wrapped me in a comforting way. I turned to see Simon watching me from over at Neil's truck. He smiled as I twirled for him.
Thank you, I mouthed. You're welcome, he mouthed back.
I gave my sweater a long, deep sniff, hoping no one noticed. Chapter 14 Inside a black Land Rover on the way back to San Francisco. Caroline.
Okay, I can do this. It's only a few hours back into the city. I can be the bigger person here. I can act like he didn't put an all stop at the thought of seeing my tatas last night. And what the hell? What man says no to tatas? I mean, they're nice tatas. They were pushed up nice and tight, and they were wet, for Christ's sake. Why didn't he want my tatas?
Caroline, just settle down. Just smile at him and act like everything is fine. Wait, he's looking over here.
Smile.
Okay, he smiled back. Stupid tata turner downer.
I mean, what's up with that? And he was hard.
Simon. She's smiling at me. I can smile back at her, right? I mean, we're acting natural, right? Okay, done. I hope that looked more natural than it felt. Jesus, who knew a giant sweater could look so good on a girl? But everything looks pretty good on Caroline, especially that green bikini. Did I really turn her down last night? God, it would have been so easy to just... But then I couldn't. Why couldn't I? Jesus, Simon. Well, we were drunk. Correction, she was drunk. Would she have regretted it? She might have. Couldn't risk it. Might have been a bit of a disaster. Or was it the girls? I shouldn't do that to the girls either. But it's not even really working so well with the girls these days now, is it? Huh. I didn't think about them once this weekend, because I couldn't stop thinking about Caroline. She's looking at me again. What the hell are we going to talk about the whole way back to the city? Ryan isn't even paying attention, bastard. I told him he needed to help me out. He's helping himself to a handful of Mimi. I'm almost sorry Caroline and I worked so hard to push them together. Caroline and I. Caroline and me in a hot tub where bikinis are outlawed. Jesus, wait a minute. Yep, now I've got a semi. Caroline. Why is he twitching like that? Jesus, does he have to pee? Maybe I have to pee. Maybe this would be a good time to suggest a pee break. Then I can grab Mimi and make sure she knows the reason they're riding with us is not so they can suck face the whole way, but to run interference for me with scared of tatas over there. Okay, just ask him to pull over at the next gas station. Wow, he really does have to pee, I guess. I hope this gas station has Gardettos. Simon. Thank God she wanted to stop. Now I can adjust without looking like a pervert. Oh, who am I kidding? I am a pervert. I'm riding in a car with a woman who was straddling me last night, and just the thought of it makes me hard. Pervert, pervert, pervert! I hope this gas station has Gardettos.
Mimi. Ooh, we're stopping. I hope this gas station has bubblegum.
Ryan.
Oh, man. We're stopping already?
We're not going to make it back to the city before dark. Mimi wants me to see her place, and I'm really hoping that means walk around naked and let me watch. I hope this gas station has condoms.
Caroline.
Okay, you could have handled that a little better. Mimi suggesting you and Simon split the big bag of Gardettos was not that big of a deal. Am I a little sensitive today? Yes, I suppose I am. But I know for a fact that Simon was checking out my ass as I walked away from the car. Why the hell is he checking out my ass now? Last night he didn't even want to peek under my bikini. Is he really that complicated? Why the hell is he looking at me? He's reaching his hand out. Stay still, Caroline, stay still. Oh, sesame seed on my chin. Well, if you weren't looking at my mouth, Mr. Mixed Messages, you wouldn't even have noticed it. You will never get this sesame seed now, buddy.
Damn, why does this sweater have to smell so good? I hope he hasn't noticed me sniffing this sweater the whole way.
Simon,
she's really sniffly today. I hope she isn't catching a cold. We spent so much time outside this weekend. I would hate for her to come down with something.
She just sniffled again. Should I offer her a Kleenex?
Mimi.
Busted, Caroline. I totally knew you were sniffing that sweater.
Ryan.
I wonder if Mimi has any more of that bubble gum. I hope she didn't notice me buying those condoms. I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I definitely want to be under her again sometime very, very soon. Who knew someone so tiny could be so loud? And now I'm hard.
Mimi.
Ryan Hall. Mimi Reyes Hall. Mimi Hall. Mimi Reyes Hall.
Caroline.
Okay, Caroline, time to have that difficult conversation with yourself. Why exactly did you throw yourself at Simon last night? Was it the wine? Was it the music? The voodoo? Was it the combination of all those things? Okay, okay, no more bullshit. I did it because... Fuck, I need some more Gardettos.
Simon.
She's so pretty. I mean, there's pretty and then there's pretty. What a pussy I am. Fuck pretty. She's beautiful. Pussy. And she smells good. Pussy. Why do some girls just smell better? Some girls smell like flowery, fruity bullshit. I mean, why would some girls want to smell like a mango? Why should a girl smell like a mango? Maybe if I think the word mango enough, I won't think about pussy anymore. Caroline. Mango. Caroline. Pussy. God. And now I'm hard.
Caroline. He looks like he needs to pee again. He's drinking too much coffee. He's had like 6 cups already from that thermos. That's funny. He never has a second cup at home. Why the hell do I know how many cups of coffee he drinks? Face it, Caroline. You know so much about him because...
Ryan.
Dude.
We're stopping again? We are never gonna make it home.
My boy is having some serious issues today. I should probably see if he wants to get a beer or something when we get back, in case he wants to come clean about what really happened last night. Should I offer? Wow. Mimi looks fantastic in those pants. I wonder if she's buying more bubble gum.
Mimi. Stop sniffing your sweater, Caroline. Seriously, girl. If I could just get her alone. Okay, Simon seems to be hobbling toward the men's room. I can get her alone by the beef jerky. Caroline.
Ugh, I can't believe Mimi knew I was sniffing the sweater. I wonder if Simon noticed.
Simon.
She seems better. She's not sniffling anymore.
Mimi. I need to text Sophia. She needs to know the Simon-Caroline situation is not getting any better.
What the hell are we going to do with these two? I mean, seriously. Sometimes people just can't see what's right in front of them.
Aw, Ryan wants me to scratch his back. I adore him. And damn, are his fingers long.
Ryan.
Back. Scratch. Back. Scratch.
Caroline.
Okay. No more avoiding it in your own head, Reynolds. And now I'm serious because I'm using my last name. Now listen up, Reynolds.
I sound like such a badass.
Simon.
So, she's giggling?
Inside joke, she says.
So, maybe she is okay with how this is going. Oops, grabbed the wrong bag of Gardettos. Did she just growl at me?
Caroline. Turn my tatas down and then try to steal my Gardettos? I don't think so, buddy.
Okay, Reynolds. No more giggling. You can't avoid this forever, even in your own mind. Here are the questions on deck. 1. Why did you throw yourself at Simon last night? And you're not allowed to blame alcohol or music or vacation vibes or nerves or heart or anything. 2. Why did he turn you down? If he didn't want to go there, why has he been flirting with you for weeks and not just in the neighborly way? He's got a harem, for God's sake. He's not a Puritan. Ugh. 3. Does being rejected by Simon have anything to do with the date you agreed to with James? 4. How the hell do Simon and I go back to being just friends when we know what the inside of each other's mouths taste like? And his tastes very, very, very good. Okay, yes. You can sniff the sweater one more time. Just don't let anyone see you.
Simon, I have to figure out this shit with Caroline. She's so great, and I mean so great. Has there ever been a woman who's possessed every single quality I've been looking for? Except for Natalie Portman, of course. But Caroline? I have to stop watching so much Lifetime. I mean, what guy in his own mind even thinks in sentences like, has there ever been a woman who's possessed every single quality I've been looking for? Wait. Have I been looking for that woman? No, I haven't. I don't have time for that, space for that. And my girls don't want the picket fence. They keep away the picket fencers. Caroline says she isn't a picket fencer. Katie found her picket fence, and I'm happy for her. When's the last time I even talked to Nadia or Lizzie? Maybe they're not right for me anymore. I don't want them the way I might want, could want, Caroline. You're such a pussy, Parker. Jesus. Caroline. She's a fucking keeper. Wait a minute. What the hell? Are you really entertaining the idea of a gulp relationship? And why the fuck did I actually think the word gulp? That was a little dramatic, Parker. Come on, think about this. If I recall correctly, you invited her to Spain. Don't run away from it. Dude, did she just sniff her sweater?
Ryan.
My girl likes beef jerky. Could I be any luckier? She scratches my back and eats beef jerky. I have died and gone somewhere like heaven.
Mimi. I can't believe he ate all my beef jerky. What a jerky.
Caroline.
Question 1 is too hard. I can't start with that one. I'll answer them in reverse order. 4. I don't know if we can be friends, but I really want to be, and not in a fake way. I really like Simon, and even though what happened last night sucked major balls, I think we can figure this out, and I would like to have some of whatever I'm smoking.
3.
Of course I agreed to go out with James because of what happened with Simon. It's funny how that shows up in all caps, even in my head.
2.
If I knew why he turned me down, I'd be a fucking genius.
Bad breath?
No.
Because I was drunk?
Possibly. But if it's because we were drunk, that's the worst timing for chivalry in the history of the universe. He did keep saying, I can't, and that it was a mistake.
Now, mistake, perhaps, but might have been worth it. Maybe he was just being faithful to his harem, which in an odd way is quite sweet. I know he really does care about them. Damn it. He's even great when it comes to them. But I know I can't wasn't accurate. Can't implies some kind of erectile dysfunction, and I felt that junk on my thigh.
Sigh. Sigh for thigh. This sweater is